Let us pray. Lord, you give your word and sacraments to the church. Let us hear your word. Let us believe that baptism saves us. Let us eat our Lord's body and blood. Eat his body and drink his blood, believing that we too are forgiven and will be resurrected with him when he comes. In his name we pray. Amen. He is risen. Amen. If the Apostle Paul was nothing else, he was sincere. Even in the days when he believed wrongly about God and Christ, even in the days when he believed in a God of wrath who had not sent his Son into the world, even in the days when he did not believe that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, even in the days when he persecuted the followers of Jesus, even in the days when he was totally wrong in his beliefs, Paul was sincere. Of course, he was sincerely wrong. Sincerely headed for hell. But he was sincere. And it took an act of God. Excuse me. It took an act of God to turn Paul from his wrong-headed ways. Jesus converted Paul as God creates by speaking. And by speaking, he knocked him off the back of a horse, blinding him for 3 days to keep him from going to Damascus and persecuting more Christians. Jesus converted Paul by convincing him that he, Jesus of Nazareth, was indeed the Christ, the Son of the one true and living God. So even though Paul was sincere, Paul was by nature a sinner and child of the devil, like you and I. He was capable of great error and sin. On his own, Paul was sincerely wrong. Later, by his own admission, he was the chief of sinners, bound for hell, condemned by his own pretentious righteousness. And what is more, Paul was wrong about the most important matter in life. Before Christ converted Paul, Paul worshiped a false god, a god that did not exist, a god without a son who died for the sins of the world, a god who does not exist. When asked what it meant to have a God, Martin Luther replied by saying, "I say that your God in reality is that around which you entwine your heart and on which you place your confidence." Following Luther's line of thought, we could quickly imply that faith in something wrongly called God is faith in a false God. From the scriptures we learn that the one and true living God labels faith in a false God as idolatry. By the time Paul reached Athens, he knew the very things that we just discussed. He knew about false gods. He could see that the people of Athens were religious. Religious. But like Paul before his conversion, they worshiped false gods. They even worshiped idols. Idols made from their own hands, from the designs of their overly productive imaginations. Oh, they were religious and they were sincere. But again, they were sincerely wrong. They searched for God in idols made of wood and stone, in the image of animals and creatures of their imaginations. They were searching for and never finding. They were searching for and never finding the one and only true, and living God. They were always open to some new philosophy, some current faddy, F-A-D-D-Y, thing. Even considering philosophy to be the same as religion. They worshiped the pleasures of this world as did the Epicureans, whose big thing was eating, drinking, and partying to excess all the time. Not just when there were causes for celebration, but all the time. They worshiped the natural order of nature as the rule of life, as did the Stoics. But never did they find the one and only, true and living God. Because the Word and the Word made flesh had not spoken to them, had not knocked them on their proverbial rear ends with the power of the Word and the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. But that is just what Paul proceeded to do. He first called them to repentance, as we hear in verse 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. End of verse 30. These words of coming judgment are words that call the people to repentance. That is, these words call them to contrition, to confess their sins, to be sorry for their sins, and then calls them to faith. The only true and living God has a Son whom he has put in charge of judging the world. When Jesus comes again, he will judge the world, not according to sin, but according to faith. He's paid for the sin of the whole world. He will send his angels out when he comes, and they will gather those who believe in him to him. The others will be left. Since all are guilty, there is only one way to escape condemnation, and that is to repent. Repent, repent. I shared this morning in Bible class, I've taught the book of Revelation several times, and I love teaching it, but we get off on other things. The theme of the book of Revelation is repent, 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 repent. Confess your sins to God and believe that you are forgiven because of what Christ has done for you. Repentance involves contrition and faith. Be contrite, that is, confess your sins to God in Christ, then believe, have faith that you are forgiven and will be resurrected as Christ has promised when he comes again. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as far as human nature goes, nothing has changed since the time of Paul. We live in a world that can be considered to be very religious. Look around you, and you can find evidence of the worship of false gods, idols, and wrong gods. You can even find Jesus labels on many wrong-headed notions about who he was and is. Some believe that he was not truly God, but just a man. Some believe he was not truly a man, but an apparition. And some believe that he was a man who was so good he became God. But the real Jesus is the Good Friday Jesus. It's the Good Friday Jesus, crucified and repulsive. The real Jesus is the risen Jesus, with scars in his hands and feet and side. It is this Jesus who is present with you here each Sunday morning in divine worship. Not the happy clappy Jesus, not the prosperity Jesus, or any of the other Jesuses that have been conjured up in our present culture. The crucified and risen Jesus is here, present in word, present in body and blood. You get the real Jesus, who is both God and man. Oh, sinner, the real Jesus is who you must have to escort you into heaven. How many times have you heard it said? Well, we're all trying to get to the same place, so it doesn't matter really what you believe about Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, don't believe that for a second. There's only one way to heaven, and it goes through the cross, the Good Friday cross of our Lord's suffering and death, and the Easter morning resurrection, the empty tomb. Beware of all who call themselves God-fearing, yet do not worship the God-man, Jesus Christ, Son of the only true and living God. So be sincere, but be sincere like Paul was after his conversion. Even claim to be the chief of sinners ahead of Paul, if you wish. I do. Tell others about your forgiven status before God in Christ. Then tell others the hope you have of resurrection when Christ comes again. Be especially sincere in your belief that Jesus of Nazareth was the only begotten Son of the only true and living God. Beware of any false teachings or false gods. There's plenty of them out there. There's plenty of them out there. It's incredible. Call on the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, often. You have been baptized into his name, and as you heard, baptism now saves us. Worship him only. Give all glory and honor and praise and thanksgiving to the only true and living God and to his crucified and risen Son. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.